Left.
So we've got two people here impersonating their girlfriends in the call, as Joe pointed out.
It's very sexy. I feel like we've got more inclusive little chat going already.
I am just thankful for the cleavage. Dan's going to punch me next time he sees me.
I really, really am.
We're gamers, it's a toss-up whether our cleavages are bigger anyway.
To be fair. I've got a pretty impressive cleavage.
Oh, anyone's is.
Yeah.
If it makes it up to you, I will motorboat you the next time I see you.
Simon knows about this. I put a picture of myself on Reddit.
About
9 months ago.
I was just like, why would you do such a thing?
I know. I put a picture of myself when we cosplayed as the guys from Borderlands. And I got sort of 60-40 positive to negative comments and shit like that. And one of my favourite responses was, check out the moves on that guy. 10 out of 10 would motorboat.
Hells yeah.
My response was, I wouldn't. The hair there could choke a python. It's terrifying when you think about it. Is everybody alive?
Yeah.
Everybody's here? Yeah? We're all here? Right, so.
I'm not.
You're not here? No. Okay. Just to check. You vacated a little while ago, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Three Loves Left podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harrison, and with me, as always, is my main man, Sam Eastwood.
Hello.
Joining us once again is the man, Kevin Cornwall.
Guten Tag.
Always throws me. I'm always waiting for a different sort of introduction. Oh, no, it's brilliant.
I spent 2 weeks thinking about my responses. Don't worry.
Booted in for the next one.
Joining us once again is Captain Cool himself, Simon Townsend.
Hello.
The esteemed Nell Wood is with us.
Hello.
And our very own Cornish pirate is once again here, Joe Lewis.
Hello.
Is that kind of Cornish racism? Is
It's an in joke about his wedding.
Oh, okay. I'm just noting things. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, the Cornish rugby team are called the Cornish Pirates. So.
Are they?
They are indeed.
They really do like to push the whole pirate thing, don't they, Joe?
Well, you know, we just love our booty. Thanks, sorry. One fan in the audience.
Yay!
I was going to make a sodomy joke, but.
Yeah. Oh, no, I enjoyed it.
It's a butt rape joke.
It was piratey and sexual, and it was good. Very well thought out. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, yeah? 10 out of 10 would butt rape. Oh, good lord. So, I realise that we've just done a great intro. And we didn't actually talk about who's going to do the news blast.
Sure, you would talk about that, yeah.
But you need to give somebody the news blast to do the news blast.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Well, the only one here who's not done it, besides me and you, Sam, obviously, is Joe.
Ah, hello.
Yeah, Joe's turn.
So, Joe's turn. I will send...
I need some news with which...
Yeah, I will send it to you.
No, Joe, you have to make it up on the spot. Okay.
The one thing you do need to do is... put your number in the comments because I don't have it.
Right, okay, hang on it. Maybe just talk amongst yourselves while I'm doing this.
Make conversation. Well, we'll do this, we'll do what we always do here at Three Lives Left, which is thank all of our wonderful listeners for tuning in, listening in and downloading us on Podomatic and on iTunes, and we've got some, you know, great feedback from our listeners. Today I received a text from a friend who's been catching up because he hasn't had any time. He's been trying to finish off his dissertation for his master's, and he finally finished it tonight. So well done, Phil.
Hang in there, buddy. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate dissertation writing. Yeah. Well, I liked it, but at the same time, it's just all like so much writing.
And he did. He listened to the latest edition that he caught up, and he said he really liked our new format. So thanks for that, Phil. We like it too.
You say every week about us getting feedback. I was just like, who are we still getting regular feedback?
Yeah, we still get really good feedback. Yeah.
Also, we have to say a big thank you to Ian because he has very kindly agreed to draw quite a lot of us in the style of the fabulous picture that is currently adorning Facebook.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, yeah, Ian big Thomas, the nice guy.
Yeah, big thank you to Ian.
He's our little shoemaker, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to have to cut this bit out while I try and write in Joe's number.
So I think with a bit of clever editing won't serve.
Can anyone sing? Kev, you've got a dulcet tone there. Just
one cornetto. Give it to me.
Kevin, you got a voice of an angel. On crack.
A meth head angel. Speaking of meth heads, is anyone else a Breaking Bad fan in here?
Yes.
Oh, the new one's out. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Oh, God, the new one's so good. Spoilers,
Breaking Bad's on my to-do list. I've seen, like, the first episode, and that's it.
Good man, you need to get...
I've done a lot of this, just sort of seeing the first episode of shows. Walking Dead's another one. I've seen the first episode, and I'm just like, it's on my to-do list to watch the rest of it.
What's it? It's a slow starter. It's, sort of like... it. Really takes a while to sort of get into, but you know, so good. And by the time you get to the end of season four,
season three and four are its strongest seasons, but the way season four ends is phenomenal.
So good. Season five part two is off to a strong start already.
Yes. Well, God, yes, it is. I watched it today. Joe, you should receive that text from me now. That's got.
I'm just giving it a little read.
So while Joe peruses that, we'll take a look and We'll take the chance to do our regular feature here at Free Last Less, which is our Week in Geek, where everybody on the podcast talks about what they've done in the last couple of weeks that's been particularly geeky and something stuff that we're passionate about. So, if you want to kick the ball off there, Kev.
This week, it's been payday, so I went out and got comics.
A wise choice.
I actually have them in a pile next to me. And yes, I do mean a pile. I bought Adventure Time Volume 3, Adventure Time Marceline and the Screen Queens. I bought Saga Volume 2, which is amazing. It was Forbidden Planet, so I got a couple of, like, the comic grab bags, which are like a pound for like four random comics, and I got some interesting ones in there.
Do you get a good selection on those? Because I was like, oh, is it just stuff they can't get rid of?
There's always like one or two dud ones, but I've got a Star Trek After Darkness one, a Constantine one, Lost Vegas, and Transformers as well. And the Transformers comics are surprisingly. You know, kick-ass.
Is it the DW ones?
Yeah, the IDW comics, yeah.
Yeah, the IDW.
But if you're into comics and you haven't read Saga yet, read it. It's fantastic. It's one of those comics that's really hard to sort of explain, but it's the most basic I can sort of describe it as is Romeo and Juliet in space.
Hmm.
But that is not a bad thing. It's
sorry, I tuned out there while I was reading the news blast. Has anyone made the old people on holiday joke yet? No.
The old people on holiday joke.
Saga. It's Club 30 for old people.
Yeah,
I see what you did there.
Yes. There we go. It was didn't really deliver it properly. I should have committed.
You should have just made it and hoped that you were.
It had the makings of greatness, but you failed.
Okay.
And I've been preparing myself for the phase four of the Final Fantasy beta, which is going to be my weekend.
Right. Realm Reborn.
Yeah. So this is the last phase of beta before launch.
And then normally just serve a stress test, and everything's pretty much complete.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, they already had like quite a strong sort of start point, so the beta's actually been pretty smooth as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, it's good. I'm eagerly awaiting The release.
Last one. Oh, yeah, well, fair enough. You're eagerly awaiting your release, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Kevin. Wait, Kevin, you said you were going to get Deadpool. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, I was going to get Deadpool, but then because it's Deadpool, they're like £5 more expensive than every other comic. So
it's so
I went,
much more awesome.
No, they're not, though. They are smaller comics. Like, I'm going for, like, the collected volumes here. Like, I picked up, like, four graphic novels today for...
Go to Place and Space, and you can get some of the cheaper ones for a lot cheaper.
Kevin, just think about who you're telling here that buying Deadpool is not a good thing. Don't lose this argument.
I don't. It's not an argument. I like to wind him up about it. It's like, I bought Deadpool, but I chose not to, Sam. How do you feel about that, sucker?
I feel that you're dead to me.
In a pool.
Okay.
So yes, in a pool, maybe.
Now, do you want to continue? You want to tell us about your week in gig?
Oh, I've done tons of things because I've had lots of time on my hands. Seen quite a lot of movies. So last night went out with most people involved in this podcast, actually. We went and saw Kick-Ass 2. I've also seen Monsters University, The Wolverine, Despicable Me 2. I don't care, I love it. What else have we seen? My brain's just...
Then?
Yeah, no, I said that in the last one. So, yeah, The Wolverine, Kick-Ass 2, very, very good films.
Two Guns?
And Two Guns as well, which I didn't really know what to expect from it. I didn't really know whether I was going to enjoy it. It's a really good film. I would definitely say go check it out and don't take it seriously. It's just fun, pretty much. It's just, yeah, it's quite a funny kind of good cop type thing. Been playing lots of Magic. Played some Descent. What else have I done? Last week, while we were having a conversation about the fabulous website-y things that we're going to get going and stuff, played this really cool game with Sam, Rachel and Dan called Elder Sign, and I love it.
And Simon was there.
And so, why? My brain is mush. I'm sorry, Simon, I love you. And we played Sign, which is an epic thing. And I like it a lot.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay, so next person up, Sam, why don't you tell us about what you've done in your weekend gig?
Okay, so I went, it was my birthday the other month, the end of the month, and we had a fantastic gathering of all the Free Lives Left people were there, apart from some of the Dan's uni friends. We played a load of games. We played King of Tokyo.
Yeah, because
he was in Holland, being, you know, weird. Well,
I threw you off there, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, I did ask Kevin. He was invited, but he was otherwise invited. But yeah, we played some King of Tokyo. Played some Magic. Played Cards Against Humanity. And all that type of fun stuff. And it was really, really good. And it was really great to have everybody. Around and do the event, and I got some games. I got a game from Joe and his wife, which is Summoner Wars, which is a card/strategy war type game, which was really fun. Totally recommend. It's a two player, but I totally recommend it. It's a really good two player. It's really quick to play, and you just kind of go through a lot of the rounds really quickly. I went into a place in Space in Croydon the other day, and they had these things called Mini Mates, and I bought like a pack of four Deadpool Mini Mates, who is pretending to be the Avengers. So it's a Thor, Deadpool, Captain Ameripaul, Iron Man Paul, and a Cable Deadpool, even though he's not an Avenger, but still. So I've been playing with those as well, just because they're fun. I need to get a cabinet and display them in awesome glory.
Did you just sort of run them up and down the desk?
No,
he
Deadpool
did.
I totally did. And that was great. I got some of the new Deadpool. There's a Deadpool Kills, Deadpool And we picked up some of the Last of Us comics as well. There's an The Last of Us comic. It's done by Black Horse. We can't get the first one.
Have you played The Last of Us yet?
I haven't.
Oh, gosh. Is the comic based on the storyline of the game?
I don't know. I haven't played it or read them, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Good Lord,
what
is this?
Because they didn't have number one or number three. They only had...
number two?
Two and four.
I think you should just, you know, go play that game.
Cause
it's awesome.
Yeah, I do want to play the game.
It's got to be cheap now.
And today, there was a new Humble Bundle out, which is actually an amazing deal.
The EA one.
Yep. You've got Dead Space, Dead Space 3, Burnout Paradise.
Paradise with a big pile of shit.
How dare you, sir?
No. Burnout Paradise was a big pile of shit compared to Burnout Revenge, which is my favourite.
It's a fair point. Anyway, Medal of Honor, the first tier, which is to Battlefield 3, Sims 3, with like all the expansions.
It's quite good.
It is a really good deal, except that a lot of it goes through Origin.
Yeah,
I've seen a few people on Facebook giving away Origin keys for some of the games.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like spent the whole day trying to download Battlefield 3. I think it broke my computer.
All right.
Good old Origin.
I think Origin broke my computer.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to avoid Origin at the most.
But yeah, apart from that,
cool. That was it. What about you, Joe?
Ooh, what have I been doing? I have... I attended Sam's lovely birthday. That was fun. I have been playing quite a lot of the new Shadowrun game, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
Old school RPG, turn-based combat, get in. And this kind of crazy sci-fi meets fantasy. So you can have, like, orcs with fucking enchanted miniguns. What the fuck? That's brilliant. So that's been a lot of fun. I have been... Zoe is getting killed by a Cenobite in Dead Space. you might be able to hear. I've also been watching an awful... I'm really addicted to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. At the exclusion of things like the new Breaking Bad, which is a bit bad. I also picked up the new Humble Bundle today, and I literally, while we've been speaking, just bought the new Space Hulk game, because I love the board game, and it's a port of the board game on a PC. How happy am I? Eclipse. I recently picked up Eclipse, which is a kind of space opera meets Euro board game, which we've played several times. It's an awful lot of fun. Very, very exciting. Battle Lore 2nd Edition just got announced today. Fantasy Flight are releasing a new version of Battle Lore set in Terranoth, which is the universe that Descent, Journeys in the Dark and Rune Wars and Runebound are set in. It's going to be slightly larger scale models, so it's a hex-based board game war, fantasy war. Fantastic. Looks really exciting. Should be out before Christmas. X-Wing and Netrunner and just generally...
Everything
out on board games. Yeah.
Cool.
That's enough.
Right. So, what about you, Simon?
I've been having a bit of an old computer game renaissance at the moment. I started off by playing the Zone of the Enders HD collection, which, because I love those games.
So
you still haven't got it? Oh.
No.
I did have it on Xbox, but I found I couldn't play it with a control pad because I was so used to playing it on PlayStation 2, and I was just like, this feels like weird to me. But because I got it on the Xbox, because apparently the frame rate on the PS3 was a bit messed up, but they released a patch like recently to fix that, so I then went and got it on the PS3. And it feels a lot more comfortable. I'm a lot better at it. I was like actually being quite bad at it on the Xbox. I was just like, oh, now I've got it with the old controllers. It feels comfortable again. And I'm like, ciao. So I did that. Then I also started playing one of my really old games, which is the Vampire the Masquerade Redemption, which is based on the sort of D&D-esque game Vampire the Masquerade, but it's like a PC game with like its own little story and stuff like that. I've been having fun with that. I've also been started, finally, Mass Effect, so I'm playing through the first one.
Oh, I'm now. Sorry.
And I'm just like, I can't wait to actually get onto the later ones, because it's like starting to show its age a bit. It still looks good, but it's still like, not as good as like from what I've seen from like Mass Effect 3.
The story's really good. It's the mechanics.
Yeah, I am very intrigued by the story though. It just looks like I'm probably going to get addicted to it. And then lastly, I managed to earn myself a little Tauntaun mount in Star Wars The Old Republic. I haven't gone on to trying to get myself the little Ewok companion, mainly because I'm not an Ewok fan, and also because it apparently costs you 1 million credits.
Oh, good lord.
I mean, I have 1 million credits, but I'm still not as willing to spend that on an Ewok.
Yeah, I'm not buying a fucking Ewok. That's slavery.
How does
it smell?
riding around the main
really
space
station. I'm fucking annoyed about that. Nobody bit. I laugh. I know you were impressed, Sam. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging it. Nobody else
did. I was smiling.
Carry on, Simon.
I've just been riding around on my Tauntaun now. Because
I asked Simon how his Tauntaun smelled.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Well, they smell bad. I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Yeah. I'm so pleased you did that. You made my evening. We can stop there. So I'll finish up. My week in geek has been, whoa, that's a giant moth. So
is that been it? Your week in geek has been a giant moth.
I hear that's really good, actually. Quite scary.
You watched Mothra then?
I watched that Godzilla versus Mothra. No,
I can see him running down the street now. Ah, Mothra!
I really don't like moths, all right?
Anyway, apparently moths are actually a good, like, monster.
Yeah. They're like Mothra.
Yeah.
I could catch it, but the noise would disrupt the podcast.
So my week in geek, it's been pretty cool. As Nell said, we've been to see tons of movies. We signed up to the Cineworld Unlimited card, which costs us, like, £16 or something a month, and we can see unlimited films, see as many as we want, for free, or for the cost of the card, obviously. But you can see literally as many as you want, and you get invited to special screenings and that. So obviously, she just said that we went and saw Two Guns. Two Guns isn't out until tomorrow. We saw it on Monday. Genuinely, really good film. Other than that, what else have we done? I have been really, really sort of been playing loads and loads of stuff on Steam. Mostly, I'm still playing Smite on my PC, which is, you know, just a phenomenally good MOBA that they keep adding more to it, and they've increased how it looks graphically recently and stuff like that, and it's just a really fun game to play with a group of friends, which is my one drawback for games like Dota and League of Legends, that they don't feel a lot of fun because they're so stressful, whereas Smite's a lot more laid back for a MOBA, for that sort of that genre of games. I've been playing a lot of Worms Reloaded. And I had a game-breaking bug happen to me on Darksiders. So I was playing Darksiders. I got picked that up in the Steam sale because I was like, oh, you know, Sam always told me how good this was. I'll finally get them both because they were both on a nice sale, both Darksiders 1 and 2. And I had a game-breaking bug happen 4 hours into play, which meant I had to go back and play from the start again.
No.
To the point where I didn't want to do it. It was like, I can't face it, but then
it
I was
turned
assured.
Into the chore.
Yeah, but I was assured that it's well worth, you know, doing it. And I know not how to avoid that bug and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll be able to go through it and not worry about it.
Where were you when you did it then?
I was in the Twilight Cathedral. I wasn't that long in. I was doing the bit where you have to. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Like, and I've literally flown through getting back there. I parked outside of it on my latest save, outside the cathedral. But I fucked up in the cathedral. It bugged out and lost one of the swords that you use to unlock doors.
Yeah.
Vanished. Oh. And no matter what I would do to reload the saves, it wouldn't come back. And the only other save I had was the auto save was inside the cathedral, and the other save was inside the cathedral. So I was fucked. So yeah, I've been told not to save during like castle quest bits in the game. Always save outside it before you do anything. And if it bugs out, use that save. So that way you know that there's nothing been touched inside the castle area that you're going to go into. Other than that, I really, really genuinely enjoy the game. I've been playing a little bit of Minecraft on and off lately because we are, you know, just coming up with some ideas to do for Let's Plays and things like that, as well as other games looking at doing on Let's Plays and things like that. I've been touching stuff. Yeah, that's a really weird way to say that. loading stuff up and messing around and figuring out how we could do some funny stuff with that stuff. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Yeah, cool. So that's everyone. So our newest regular feature that we've been doing for the last sort of 4 or 5 podcasts now is our Three Lives Left News Blast. News Blast.
Woo! News!
Woo! Excitement. What we do in the News Blast is what we used to do is we used to read off everything that happened in the past 2 weeks, try to talk about it all, and inevitably we'd have stuff that we didn't want to talk about or know nothing about. Now we do a quick roundup of everything that's happened. If you want to know more, you can follow the links. I'll post up with it. But if you don't, you don't want to know. So it has fallen upon Joe to read the latest.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about that.
This is the Three Lives Left News Blast. Joe, do you know the rules of the Three Lives Left News Blast?
In short, you read the headings.
I will read the heading.
That Nell was annoyed about, because when she read it, we told her off for not reading the headings.
Have to read the headings.
I will read the headings.
Okay, you have 60 seconds to read everything on that list.
Jesus fucking Christ! All right.
Yeah, Sam is going to time
me. I'm ready with a timer.
You tell us.
Ready,
Joe?
Ready.
Okay.
Set.
Ready. Go. Game releases: Cloudberry Kingdom, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Tales of Zillia, Payday 2, and Charlie Murder. Gaming news: Bioshock Infinite DLC announced, alternate Booker and Elizabeth in Rapture Before the Fall. Nintendo will have a system in place by the end of the year to allow people to purchase games on a smartphone or a PC. Arkham Origins is to have a multiplayer mode designed by the Brink developer Splash Damage. August games for Gold are Crackdown and Dead Rising 2. EverQuest Next announced, adding terramorphing to MMOs. The Battlefront reboot isn't due until 2015. Volition have revealed a limited edition $1 million edition of Saints Row 4. The Xbox One will no longer need a Kinect. Peter Capaldi is the new Doctor Who. Boom! Marvel supposedly has its film schedule planned until 2021. Warner Brothers is supposedly planning a TV show about the Gotham Police Department set between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. Tom Hiddleston says he's open to appearing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Bruce Willis has dropped Expendables 3 and is going to be replaced by Harrison Ford.
Oh, he's one off. I'm going to read out the last one that Joe was going to say, which was trailers for X-Men Days of Future Past, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Guardians of the Galaxy have all leaked online. So you were one short.
Oh,
really? Yeah. Well. And you were articulate.
That was a fair
lovely
bit of news, in
it was. It was definitely probably the longest we've had.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a little bit of a head rush.
You did get Peter Capaldi's name wrong.
What did I say?
You said, so I don't know, the surname was wrong.
You don't know.
I don't know. You were just wrong.
I'm pretty certain you got it right. You might have just misheard him.
Probably.
Yeah. So
I should have got it right because I'm fucking well excited about it. I can actually watch it again.
Yes. So right before we go on to what we're gonna go into in depth for, there are two things from that need to be addressed, like properly and perfectly, and something that happened today that I'd like to address. So firstly, as I know Joe is obviously really excited about it, as he just started saying it, and I know Kevin was telling me he's really excited about it,
and I am as well,
and Simon is as well, and I'm fairly excited, even though I'm not really a Doctor Who fan. It is big news that, you know, we now know who the new Doctor Who is. So
I don't care so much.
I know you don't care, it's not your sort of thing. I don't really care. I'm excited because I think he's a genuinely really good actor.
He is a good actor.
Everything I see him in, I really enjoy. So that's why I'm excited, because it might make me, and it's so, you know, like, well, somebody else who really knows about Doctor Who or is really genuinely excited to talk.
Hello.
Someone.
It's me, Kevin. I mean, it's a bit of a departure, given, like, the direction they've been heading in with, like, the last few Doctors, given the fact that they've been getting older, and now they've sort of jumped ahead, like, 30 years. Yeah, I think it's going to be good, because I think they're going to try and do like a sort of a throwback to the old Doctors, which isn't a bad thing, you know, not to forget his roots. But he is going to be Dr. fucking Hugh.
I'm still wondering how he's going to play it. I mean, obviously everyone wants him to like start swearing and make his assistant cry, but
yeah,
you know, it's just sort
not
of like
happen.
I mean, because he's such a good actor, I'm just like, which way is he going to take it? What's he going to wear as well? What's his outfit? I can't wait.
He is so good at that kind of intense, as well as the swearing. He's like, he's facial expressions, he's just great at that kind of wild-eyed intensity, which
is
what Doctor needs, really.
Yeah, I reckon he can definitely go crazy sort of thing with it. Like,
I'd like to see it be played a bit darker as well than...
I imagine they will, but it's just sort of like, is he just going to be like one of the, like, the really mental doctors, or is he like just going to be so intense that you want to pee your pants a little?
Because Tennant had his moments of intensity.
Yeah, Tennant was very good at doing that. I mean, he was quite good at like the light-hearted comedic bit, but he was also very good at sort of like making you be like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, no, it is, Kevin's right, it is a big departure from the last. I mean, how many years did Tennant do it for? What, 3 or 4?
I think it's like 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, and Matt Smith
no,
just...
No, 3 years. 3 years.
Three seasons. Yeah, and Matt Smith is probably verging on the same, 3 years
three,
now.
3 seasons, yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, you've got these two like heartthrobs essentially. You know, David Tennant is well loved for his looks and his talent, admittedly. And Matt Smith is in the same similar situation. You know, he's well adored by a younger female audience because of how he looks.
Isn't
and then you put in.
I don't know many people. I thought Matt Smith's opinion was like.
I love how, Dan, you were looking at me as you said, younger female audience, and I'm just giving you this look.
Why now? Do you swing for Matt Smith?
I hate Matt Smith. I absolutely bloody hate him. And I am so excited about the new Doctor, you've got no idea.
But also, 50th anniversary with Tennant in it.
Bow ties are cool, but my thing is as much as I did quite enjoy Eccleston and Tennant as Doctors. I was very much... I hated the first Christmas special that Matt Smith did with Catherine Jenkins. I hated that. It was terrible.
What was that one?
It was like Dickens-y.
I've heard that one to that, like, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe one. Oh, that was awful.
Yeah.
Last one was alright.
And like I grew up watching the sort of the really retro Doctor Who and stuff, and... I think that very much that Peter Capaldi is going to be a move to the retro Doctor Who and the Western Doctor Who, because nobody acknowledges Paul McGann ever. I think it's
he is canon now though.
No.
Just because, and apparently the only reason is because Sylvester McCoy was at the beginning of it and regenerated into Paul McGann.
Yeah, so now they're.
I really liked Paul McGann. I thought he was a good Doctor. I didn't think the setting was right because it was set in America. But I
and
think.
And also they did that whole thing where he was like half human as well, and it was like what?
Yeah. I thought. That was such a big deal, particularly as the news was going mental for it and everything. And it's something that we should address more than just, you know, by the way, this is this dude. I know that, you know, Kev's a big Doctor Who fan. Nell flitters in and out of it. I'd like, you know, I think I'll see how Capaldi is and see if it can bring me back into the show, because I watched it every now and again with Tennant and enjoyed it, but I just couldn't watch it with Matt Smith.
Also, hopefully with his age, they won't do another. He's falling in love with his assistant.
Yeah, definitely. There'd be that sort of, you know, sort of father figure thing, but it used to be.
I think there's also that issue with Matt Smith, was where he was. I mean, he is the youngest ever Doctor Who. It's only by a matter of days, to be fair. But I think, obviously, it was a big thing that he was the youngest ever, and I think, in a way, that almost set him up to be... lower than everybody's kind of expectations.
I don't know, because, I mean, when you hear about when Peter Davison became the fifth Doctor, apparently, like, well, at least all the women went, hello, who's this? It's just sort of like, apparently Peter Davison was very well loved.
He was knee-deep in clunge, is what you're saying.
All up in that poontang.
So, right.
Oh! God, I just took a sip of water and I like had to like hold in doing the comical mist.
Spray your monitor to death.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the first time his monitor's got sprayed, I'm sure.
Oh, Kevin, for fuck's sake.
Stop setting me up for them, seriously.
I know.
First time with water, though.
The other thing from the news blast that I wanted to touch on, because it is a big deal and it only got put on there in the last 2 days or so, was that now Microsoft has performed another go back on their policies and has said that although all Xbox Ones will come packaged with a Kinect, they no longer need to be plugged into the system for the system to work.
Thank fuck for that.
Right. Now, that's great, right? Because the issue, the main issue that I agreed with, where a lot of people were saying, that's fine, you know, I don't mind having to have it plugged in, but if it breaks, does that mean I can't use my Xbox anymore?
I suppose, yeah, that's
a valid point.
Sharp the wine out, but it does. They're totally going back from what they invented for their mission.
No, but it's good because it has sharp the people who are going, well, it's another camera to spy on me. It has to be plugged in all the time, does it? Oh, it's just going to be watching me. Bollocks. Why would I want to watch you, for one? Secondly,
break scratching your balls. Why would I want to look at you?
Yeah, but secondly, because they haven't taken it out of the box, because it's still coming packaged with everything, they now have an install base for it. So now they can say, oh, to all developers, by the way, every single person who has an Xbox One has this with it. So we'd like you to use this.
It's the same thing that they're pretty much attempting to do with, the PlayStation 4, that they've said to all the developers that there has to be an integration with a Vita. So, you don't have to have the Vita to be able to use the Xbox, the PlayStation 4, but if you do have one, then you can use it like smart glass on any other tablet, basically.
Yeah.
And it'll enhance the gaming experience.
Exactly, yeah.
If you have a Vita.
I'm curious about that whole Vita thing, but it does sound like it might be a Wi-Fi only thing, which might be a bit lame. I mean, sure, it'll allow me to play PS4 games on the pooper, but I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would actually be a viable system for taking out into, you need your system running it, your PS4 actually running at the same time, so I do wonder, because they haven't really fleshed out the details on that. But
yeah, it's one of those things. Apparently both companies are having big announcements to talk about all this sort of stuff at Gamescom in Germany.
Yeah.
So that's only a couple of weeks away. May only be a week away, I think, actually. So we should hear more on that. We'll talk more about that then.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to talk about, now I know I've watched it, I imagine Kevin's probably watched it, the rest of you, I'm not so sure.
You liked my post of it on Facebook.
I did. I just remembered. The GTA 5 online trailer was released today.
No, I haven't seen that. I actually sent that to myself today to watch it when I got home, and I forgot. Thank you for reminding me.
Go watch. It looks good.
Dude, it looks so good.
Oh, dude, I knew it was going to look good. When they teased it in that last story trailer they did, I was like, this is going to be...
It looks like they put
the best
in
shit.
A good structure to it.
Yeah.
And it's taken away the one problem I have with the main game, which is I don't like any of the characters.
So now you can be who the fuck you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kev, what? Just to summarise what GTA 5 Online is GTA 5 with your friends.
Yay! Wait, I don't have any friends.
In the main game.
Apparently there are proper quest lines and stuff like that, characters to talk to, stuff like that, but you can go there's one bit where everyone basically goes base jumping together in a big party of parachutes and stuff.
Yeah, but the best thing about that is the way they do it is they're driving up the mountain on dirt bikes and motocross bikes, and then they drive off the mountain. Everybody dives off the bikes and opens their parachutes.
So good.
And you can make your own races for
and death match arenas and stuff
like
that.
Matches, yeah.
It's got a content creator.
Yeah, and basically everything you do gets you cash that allows you to make your customization and eventually buy your
pad. It looks awesome. I cannot urge you enough to.
The only thing is, apparently, it's going to be released 2 weeks after the initial game's release.
It doesn't bother me. 2 weeks to.
I know, but I'll be sitting there and just saying, I want to play online. I don't want to play the storyline.
Oh, is it they'll release it as a content patch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I thought they bundled it as another disc.
What did you say, Sam? You went to say something.
Yeah, well, so you can't play online with other people until 2 weeks after release.
That's right. The current sort of time scale.
To me, that just sounds a little bit dumb. It's not me hating anything like that. It's more, in general, if I want to buy a game, I'd rather have it and then play it with my friends as soon as I can. If that's like,
selling like GTA Online is as it's a sort of a separate entity, just running off the engine of GTA 5.
But the thing is, I would rather, if I was to get GTA 5 at all, I would probably only play it on the online stuff.
I have to play the story, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it looks good. With the
they just seem
characters.
Like massive pricks.
No!
Tools! Dare I say.
I'm with Simon there. Like, most of the time, I've not liked Rockstar's character builds.
I know you do say that.
It stops me playing games. So if I just don't get to know the characters, then I can play the game.
Okay. Well, trust me, watch that trailer. It's really, really good. It's really exciting.
I've got it loaded up and ready to go right now.
What you'll love about it, Kev, is you know how the last one ended with the jet flying past the window?
Yeah.
And it goes, and we'll show you that later. It directly continues from there. So you're the jet.
I just have to say I'm nursing a semi right now. I don't want to make things uncomfortable, but well, when I'm around you, Sam, you know it's hard to control myself. I'm sorry.
Okay, so right, let's get off this disturbing topic and talk about what we actually wanted to talk about today. So we're going to kick it off. With the fact that we watched Kick-Ass 2 last night in the cinema. Well, most of us did. Sorry, Joe.
You're all right, actually. I'm going to be the naysayer for the purposes of this podcast.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I'll let Sam start off because Sam's boner is uncomfortable.
It's good. So we watched Kick-Ass 2 yesterday, which is absolutely amazing. It completely smashed my expectations of what I thought it was going to be. You're always hesitant about sequels for general films and stuff like that, but I absolutely loved it. Hit Girl took the show like the whole way through. It's a nice that they actually use Hit Girl's storyline as an actual Hit Girl comic, and they use like a third of hers, and it's her trying to not be Hit Girl anymore and kind of fit in with normal people and make friends, but then they're like bitchy teenage girls, so they end up being douchebags, and so she dons the cape again and starts kicking some more ass. The storyline's fantastic. I don't know how much that we want to actually talk about it because
let's try not to spoil anything, but
the basic premise is that Red Mist, Chris, whatever his name is, decides not to be Red Mist anymore because that was his superhero. He's now going to be a supervillain. He wants to be the first supervillain and kill Kick-Ass for killing his dad. So he becomes the motherfucker, dresses up in his mother's dominatrix gear, which is fucking weird.
Terrifying scene.
It's a terrifying scene, and you're just like, what? And he recruits a evil team, and the only good one in it is Mother Russia, who is this big blonde badass woman with one eye, and like
she's Ivan Drago, by the way.
She's the embodied
Bridget Nielsen from Rocky 4, and then like who's like Ivan Drago's like love interest. it's his wife actually, yeah. And then like Ivan Drago and then pushed him into one being.
Yeah,
basically.
The love child, and she's completely badass and just destroys everything. There's an amazing scene where they have like a metal Tetris music going on.
Yeah,
and she's just wreaking havoc on everything. It's amazing. I really enjoyed it. I think everybody played like the roles of what they did very, very well. And there's not a bad thing that I can, off the top of my head, that I could say about it. Middle dragged a little bit for me, but ending was good.
I love the name of the villain team, the Toxic Mega Cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the fact that you were in it as well.
Yes. Kevin was.
The tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Not a tumor. I thought it was fantastic. And the team against them were like Justice Forever.
Yeah.
Justice Forever with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
But that was they did cut a lot of what compared to Kick-Ass 2, the actual graphic novel.
Yeah.
It's hard to say without saying it. There's a bit where you think that the dog's gonna, something bad's gonna happen to the dog. In the film, it doesn't. In the comic book, it does.
Oh.
Basically. Oh. I'm gonna say spoiler on this one and skip forward like a minute if you don't want to hear this. But what they actually do, whilst he's alive, they cut off the dog's head and put it in his lap.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is grim.
That is grim.
Yeah.
But not the dog. But obviously they couldn't put that in the film because
no, you couldn't. No.
So many.
Yeah.
So many things.
Because of the backlash that happened in I Am Legend when he had to kill the dog in that, and everyone was like, no.
That bit made me cry, mate. Shut up. So anybody else want to share their views on the film?
I'd just like to say that the film kicked ass.
I see what you did there. Go kill yourself.
I'm going to controversially say that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than the first one, but me watching the first one, I was very much a victim of it being hyped up too much.
Yeah.
Because I've had a few instances of there are a couple of films that people are like, but that's an acknowledged, everybody on the planet loves this film, what are you talking about? Because it's been a while since its release and all my friends seeing it and saying, oh my God, you've got to see it, oh my God, you've got to see it. So Kick-Ass 1, I was a bit like, eh. Whereas this one, I was like, I could actually say I enjoyed it. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Mm. And they had the odd fascination with mutilating guys' genitals.
They did. They loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you expect it from Hit-Girl, but even like Colonel Stars, it was just sort of like, oh yeah, I'm just going to get my dog to chomp on your balls.
Go to town on your testicles, yeah.
Yeah, there's a dog on your balls.
But overall, I generally do like the Kick-Ass kind of concept.
Mm.
But it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like, what if they were real? But at the same time, we're going to be actually quite ridiculous with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of pushing on realism, but then at the same time being like, going out a little bit further.
Mm.
It's kind of how you would see like a, if it was a true story and then like they're making it for a film. So like the two guns.
Yeah, I get the idea, I get what you mean, yeah.
The two guns, is that's supposed to be a true story. I'm pretty sure none of that would actually have happened.
No, Pain and Gain is a true story.
Pain and Gain is a true story.
I saw Mark Wahlberg in the full
film
that he's been in. Pain and Gain, yeah, that's supposed to be a true story. We watched a trailer for that the other day, and it does seem that they would have obviously flashed it out and made it a lot more interesting.
Mm.
See, I wasn't that interested in Pain and Gain until I saw the trailer, because they were like, oh, it's the true story of these guys who went to a gym and then they went on like a robbing spree or something like that. I was like, okay, sounds, yeah. I might see it because of the rock's in it.
From what I've heard, basically it's supposed to be like, the humour is supposed to be in the fact that they're all really unlikable dicks.
Yeah. I mean, but the trailer does make it look like genuinely quite funny, so I might actually go see it.
Like the whole bit like where Mark Wahlberg's just basically threatening like small teenagers, and it's like, your dude, you like go and buff up, but
your stepdad in like a week or something, ridiculous.
Oh, it's fucking, that bit is brilliant. It's like, don't step to me, boy. I see the way your mother looks at me. I'll be your stepdad within a week.
Yeah, but threatening small children is always fun anyway.
Yeah.
Surely I'm not the only one with that hobby in this group, right, guys? Right?
Right?
Nope. but then if you, in the whole, like, so what is it, if anybody watched Super? Yeah.
Yes, I've seen Super.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Super's and a lot kind of darker like, that's than really, Kick-Ass.
Yeah, but it's still very surreal.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a lot more kind of what would actually,
also, just
what happened until the end.
Yeah, Super has the best Nathan Fillion cameo you'll ever see.
Oh, Nathan Fillion.
Hello, bro.
He's the you know, he keeps seeing the TV show about the Jesus Christ superhero star.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Nathan Fillion.
Oh right, okay. Fair enough. Cool. But yeah, I really like that, and a lot of people are like trying to compare Kick-Ass and Super, and kind of like, oh, it's Kick-Ass but more realistic, and I was like, well, I don't really see them similar.
No, they're not. One's a real indie movie as well.
One's like, probably the smallest indie
budget
movie,
I've ever seen.
It's even the message, because yeah. He was being a superhero because he had injustice put onto him, and he, because of his wife, and he wanted to get his wife back and stand up for himself and stuff like that. And Kick-Ass was just like, more he got beaten up, and then
I don't know, a lot of the message in the second one, at least, kind of still follows that same sort of message, because again, as you say, not with Kick-Ass, but yeah, at least with a lot of the other characters, like Night Bitch and like the two parents that were a bit weird, and
Yeah, and the gay kid as well. Yeah, like something bad had happened, and they're just trying to.
Yeah, and they were like
get revenge.
Fighting for justice and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you really saw it with like the guy who played Night Bitch when like they saved like all those like basically trafficked women, and you could see like, oh, you know, this is why I do it, because, you know, I've just saved all these women because obviously my sister got raped and killed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, Joe, you
wanted to say something.
Like,
Go on.
You were talking about Super, and that's actually, that was what the first Kick-Ass really reminded me of, was Super. And I'm with Nell, to be honest. I didn't really actually enjoy it. Like, it was a well-made film, but it made me feel a bit sick. It was all like sort of that really inconsistent tone. Like Sam was saying, it's partly going for like a naturalistic, this is what superheroes would be like, but it also feels like a spoof, doesn't it? And it's got that kind of overly colourful sort of palette and everything. And I just found the whole thing a bit like nauseating. It was just, really didn't enjoy it at all. I kind of came out, but I not didn't enjoy it even. I just came out like, I couldn't tell you if I enjoyed that or not. I feel like I've been through an ordeal. It was just like really harrowing, kind of like ultra violence. A little girl who is like, ambiguously, is she abused? Like, is her dad just a fucking nutcase? And like, whoa. And
in the comic, he's just a nutter. There's nothing about, like,
well, that's why I got in the film as well. And it was like, but it's kind of the way it's shot. It's like, oh, look, it's really cool. She's fucking kicking these guys' asses. God, I said that. But then it's also like, yeah, but that's horrific. That's like a child doing horrible things to people. And I don't know. I think I've not read it, but it seemed to me it's like trying to spoof Watchmen is what I really got from it. Watchmen obviously was the first thing that kind of said, let's take superheroes and make them real. But I don't know. I didn't like the film of Watchmen either, though. So maybe I should read this.
I don't think that was really the tone of the comic of Watchmen either, though.
It's not like I didn't like it. I just found it like weird. I found them like weird, inconsistent. Oh, I don't know.
It's trying to be realistic and like entertaining at the same time. If you're being realistic, most people would bottle out and run away from the fight, not like.
Yeah, what I would say is that Super seemed to take that to the logical conclusion of being like, oh dear,
this guy has no idea what he's doing.
But again, Super's got like there's like a weird. I don't know, like Super, it's really overt, like the female character, I can't remember what she's called, but there's like uncomfortable sex scene in it.
That's not a sex scene, dude, that's a rape scene.
That's rape. That was full on rape.
No, there's
non-consensual.
There's the bit where she's like, oh, it's all gushy, and it's like, oh, I didn't need this.
Really uncomfortable viewing.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I slightly think Kick-Ass almost seems like Hit Girl's like a bit like dominatrixy, and it's like that's a child, and a bit like, oh, I don't like that.
No, I get what you mean.
But then I think the reason I didn't enjoy the first one, and the reason that I enjoyed the second one, but I still had a few issues with it was because I really do not like Hit Girl's character, and I find her character so implausible. It really, it actually makes me angry. Like, there was the whole thing of, I said, she's supposed to be quite young in the first one, and it's like, she's quite young, but yet she thinks nothing of, like, knifing people and killing people and dropping the C-bomb and all that kind of
stuff. The thing is, but if you're saying that, but if you look at, okay, you've been brought up in a way that you think that doing those things is completely wrong, but the way that her father has brought her up, and especially in the comics, is that he has brought her up to be this thing. If you look at, like, example in another fictionist kind of state would be Ender's Game. These people are, the kids even are like 4 years, 6 years old, and have been sent to be soldiers. And they don't act like children, they act like soldiers.
Mm.
So it's the way that you're brought up that makes that kind of person. So
I agree
it is.
I think it comes across a lot of it, a bit easier in the comic of Kick-Ass because they don't paint Big Daddy in an even likable light. They just full out say that he's a complete nutcase and, yeah, he's basically corrupted his daughter to be like this, whereas in the movie they're like, oh, he's a cop, he's trying to get revenge, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of okay, kind of.
Yeah. You know what I think that's the problem, though, isn't it? For me, that's what I find uncomfortable about them, is that they are movies that have... They touch on some pretty heavy issues, but then also try and be kind of fun and action-y and sort of... And it's like they bounce off these big issues and then don't really... You know, like you're talking about... Oh, I don't know. Yeah, like child abuse and stuff.
Yeah, because I think the thing that really annoyed me in the second film was there was when she's going on that date with that guy, the guy who ends up, her dad's old partner who ends up looking after her, he says to her, like, are you nervous? And she turns around and says, about as nervous as the first time daddy sent me into a drug den with nothing but a penknife or something ridiculous like that. And I was just like, oh, like, not. I know it's a film, I know it's not real, but that is still... pretty like you're a 15-year-old girl and you compare going on your first date to walking into a drug den armed with nothing but a penknife. That is outrageous. And I like I do see the whole but if you're raised like that you don't know any different, and I do understand that, but I think what frustrated me about her character the most is the fact that there was that whole thing of she was very willing and able and okay to drop the fact that she was Hit Girl and that she needed to go and fight crime and stuff, even though she'd sworn to her dad that that was what she was going to do, and she says that she never breaks a promise. But then she turned around and promised the guy who now looks after her, oh, I won't do that stuff anymore, and then she goes and breaks that promise as well. And it's a bit like, I know obviously she's quite conflicted because of how close she was with her dad and her desire to fight crime and stuff like that. But it's just a bit like she deals with some really crappy stuff that most teenage girls do deal with. And it's like, even if you were used to sort of like knifing some guy who was doing something wrong, it's really got to skew your sort of perception of how you deal with things. And also, it's really got to...
I don't know, it's only my impression from the first film. I didn't really feel like the characters were rounded enough to really get across those issues. Do you know what I mean? If like
it did a lot more in the second one about rounding the characters.
Maybe it does. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just felt like, you know, like they're quite... There's kind of heavy issues and really serious violence, and it's trying to be realistic. But
there's
kind of slightly
two-dimensional
characters, and it's a bit weird. It feels like it doesn't really do itself justice, is what I felt, I suppose.
All I have to say is that's how I'm going to raise my kid. I'm going to have a little Hit Girl or boy.
Right, listen, right.
Hit
I think
boy
the
just
really
sounds
interesting
like a gay porn star.
The really interesting thing to take from that is how Kick-Ass and the movie and the comic book have affected other comic books. So you cannot tell me that you don't see the relation between Hit Girl and Damian Wayne.
Who?
But is that did that come out in that order or?
Yeah. Kick-Ass, his comic book is before Damian Wayne is introduced in the Batman mythology.
Oh, no, well, he's dead now.
Oh, no, he's dead now.
Batman himself is a kind of.
You're right.
That vigilante idea, wasn't he? And, I mean, obviously, it's done in a much more light way. But
as in, we'll wait until he's an adult before he actually becomes Batman, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, if you look at the way, like, Damian Wayne is raised by Talia for a while, right? As if I understand this, right? And he's raised by the League of Shadows, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's raised to be a ninja from almost birth. But he's petulant and an arsehole. And in the Injustice storyline, fucking kills fucking Nightwing.
Yeah.
Say what?
It's a really sad bit. In the Injustice comic books, Damian Wayne is responsible for killing Nightwing. Who's Nightwing? What's his
Dick
real name?
Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
He killed Dick Grayson.
Oh, hell no.
Justice comic books.
I'm so glad he got shanked up and he's out of the storyline now.
Yeah. Simon's a big, big fan.
So here's us having so a nice serious conversation about trivializing violence, and Simon's just like, glad he got shanked. What a prick! But actually, maybe that's like
he got shanked by a clone of himself.
He had it coming, though. I guess he that's did. Like I don't know what I really want to add. The superhero comic is like the good guys are good, and you like them, and you root for them, and then the bad guys are dicks, and you want them to get hurt. And it's like there's no moral ambiguity there. I don't
so much
don't
want to
be challenged by a super...
There's so many superheroes like Deadpool that just straddle the line.
Yeah. They straddle the line. He humps the line until next Tuesday.
Yeah. He does things to that line that most certainly have left the line scarred.
But he is categorically, he's like a joke character, isn't he? He's a send up of Punisher, really.
Yeah, but then, okay, so Wolverine. Batman, for that matter.
Batman never kills, does he?
He's no killing rule.
But he also straddles the line of darkness.
Dark. I'm not saying it's not dark, but you still root for him. He's definitely a good guy, and you like him, and you want him to win.
He's definitely not going to kill anyone or use guns or.
In terms of like grey areas, Wolverine. Okay, he kills people. He maims people. He's brutal, but. He is good in whatever kind of side he'll generally go on. At no point, unless he's being controlled by something, he won't be like, you know, Magneto, I'm going to help you to try and kill the human race.
And they've always got it coming in like an X-Men comic. Exactly, the baddies always deserve it. And there's that kind of... It gets kind of challenging. I suppose Watchmen does it a bit as well, that you've got that kind of thing that it is very morally ambiguous about...
Sadly, recently they've been doing it with old Scott Summers, but, you know, everyone hates Cyclops anyway. At least I do.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about Cyclops.
Yeah, you hate it.
Just trying to make him into a character, because he has no personality.
He does have no personality. And it's weird, because now they've got, like, young Scott Summers and old Scott Summers, and it's like, oh, God, Lord. And now that harlot Jean Grey's back.
Too many of them. Just let Alex kill him, and it'll be good.
So... this has moved nicely into the next film that I wanted to talk about, which is obviously me and Kevin and Nell have all seen The Wolverine. I don't know if you've seen it, Joe.
No, haven't.
I naughtily did to see here going, what the teaser thing was at the end.
Yes, well, we won't spoil that because that's a very big deal. Mm-hmm. But okay. I know that you really enjoyed it, Kev, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean... It's far from being perfect still, but it is a huge improvement over that horrible, horrible Origins movie.
Huh.
Which I still maintain never happened. In my books, that and Spider-Man 3 still haven't been made yet, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was good. It was a little bit slow in the middle, but, you know, the action was good. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine... is always good. I still maintain that you could. It's got nothing to do with Hugh Jackman that the movies have been bad. It's bad writers, bad filmmakers.
Oh, definitely bad writers. Yeah.
Because can anyone think of anybody that is more perfect for the role of Wolverine than Hugh Jackman?
Clint Eastwood, about 25, 30 years ago.
Not even close.
I'd probably say 50 years ago.
Yeah, okay, man.
Yeah, dude's old.
Eastwood looks about 90, mate.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood in the day.
Yeah. But no, it was good. You know, a solid plot. I'm not actually too sure what that plot was based on, if anything. But
it's based on the first solo Wolverine arc, isn't it? Which was all in Japan.
Yeah, and a lot of it's correct, actually, from what I remember of it. There is a couple of bits that are like, you know, we've changed this for the film, or we changed this because of the way the X-Men movie universe already is.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of issue, because this is a direct sequel to X-Men 3.
Yeah. Direct sequel to X-Men 3 and direct prequel to Days of Future Past. So it does act nicely to tie up a few loose ends from X-Men 3. The after credits scene and like a few general things that happened during the movie set things up really nicely for Days of Future Past, which is, I think, the movie that everyone's waiting for.
Yeah. So yeah, to put too fine a point on it, there is a scene that isn't after the credits. It's doing that thing that the Avengers did where you get like the beginning of your credits and then you get a scene.
Yeah.
This scene is the best sort of, you know, after credit scene I've ever seen that Marvel have done.
Yeah.
It genuinely is. It sets you on edge for a film you know is at least a year away.
I mean, it's second only to the first Iron Man movie, the old Sam Jackson popping up saying we want you for the Avengers initiative. That I think is like the best after credit scene, because that sort of was the start of, you know, 7 years worth of movie and storytelling, which culminated in something awesome at the end of it. But yeah, this was amazing as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, me and Nell, we both really enjoyed The Wolverine, didn't we?
I think what I liked about The Wolverine was I might be a bit sort of off with my perception, because I haven't seen properly seen X-Men 2 or 3. But what I really liked about it is there is this kind of whole thing of Wolverine such a badass, and how cool would it be to be Wolverine, you heal from everything, you're super strong, you're super resilient, and then that kind of film kind of presented you with, actually, that really sucks, because everybody you know dies, and you can never, like, you've never got that release of, like, just literally just letting go from just life, and but at the same time, you know that to give what you have to somebody else would be terrible for them. And it actually, it's so good, because you do see him really vulnerable. And I've never seen, like, you kind of think, oh crap, how is he getting out of this fight, and how is he going to defeat this person? But there was that real sense of, you know, he is actually really vulnerable at this point, and we don't know what's going to happen.
I enjoyed it because it got a lot of Jackman really has nailed the character of Wolverine for me, you know. My first introduction to Wolverine is from the bloody Saturday morning cartoon from the 90s. Yeah, that one.
Brilliant.
It's a great cartoon. It's a phenomenal cartoon, and the theme song will live on in infamy. But that he's nailed that Wolverine to me, you know, that character, that persona. And the Wolverine as a movie is really good, because it's telling this story that you do know from the comics if you know them, and from the cartoon as well, because they touch on it in the cartoons quite a few times. And it's as close to being right as it can be in the universe that they've set out. But what I loved was, if you didn't know that it was, you know, because of Origins, if you didn't know that it wasn't going to be a direct sequel to Origins, going into it, I was like, oh, I'm not really sure. You know, I saw a glimpse of Jean Grey in the trailer. She's fucking, throughout that movie, it's just showing, as Wolverine often is, he's just how obsessed he is with her, and how much he wants to be with her, and how he's just not dealing with her death. And it's just great. I genuinely really enjoyed it. For me, it was probably the second or third best movie I've seen so far this summer. genuinely really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's good.
Yeah. Cool.
So, on the thought of heroes and superheroes and such, Rich, let's put it to everybody here real quick. Who is your favourite superheroes / comic book characters? Let's go around. Joe, who's your favourite? Number one.
Hellboy. For me.
Hellboy. I thought you were going to say Hellboy. Hellboy.
just quickly before you move on, then, Joe, do you like the Hellboy movies?
Yes.
So I've not read them, so I wanted to know: is it a good, translation?
They take it somewhere else. It's a lot more colourful and a lot lighter than the comics. The comics are actually quite noirish kind of horror with a steampunk element, and really well researched as well. Like Mike Mignola really researches like world mythology. Basically, that's all he does. He goes and researches a bit of world mythology, finds like a mythical beast or monster, and then makes Hellboy go and punch it in the face, and that's it. That's a Hellboy story. That's the
So all the creatures that he will interact with and fight with in the comics are
real mythological creatures, or he draws an awful lot from the H.P. Lovecraft mythos as well, the kind of Cthulhu style stuff. But yeah, even Lovecraft, you know, most of that's based on world mythology. So it's really well researched. It's quite kind of, sometimes the comic can be quite kind of mournful, like it's quite sad in a way that the films don't really capture. The films are like visually beautiful, and Ron Perlman's fucking incredible as Hellboy. I mean, he's got Hellboy down, like he plays the character perfectly, but like the world of the films is a bit more cartoony and a bit more kind of, I mean, it's Guillermo del Toro, isn't it? It's what he does, is that campy visual, which I really enjoy. Like, I loved, I mean, the first one particularly, I think, is an incredible film. And I think actually the first one captures the mood. The second Hellboy movie is a lot lighter than most of the comics.
Cool. One second, gents. Oh, fair enough. Right, carry on, right, Sam.
Okay, so, Joe, Simon, who
you know doing? Mine, I've ranted about it on this podcast many a times.
We share
one in colour like Sam, which is old Deadpool, and I've always said my favourite X-Men is old Gambit, because out in an old smoothie and doesn't always just rely on his powers.
Yeah, cool. Kevin?
I can't choose just one, so I'm going to choose a team. So it's not like a ridiculously huge team like the X-Men. It's the Runaways, which is like Yeah, have you guys read The Runaways? It's
awesome. I've read some of it, yeah.
Loved it, like, especially like the first arc, so good.
Explain what The Runaways are, Kev.
Explain Runaways.
The Runaways are a group of sort of like teenagers that they all go to like this massive mansion every year, that which for what they think is like a family reunion. But it actually turns out that their parents are supervillains, and they're actually meeting once a year to discuss their evil plans. The kids find this out, and then they try and stop them, and find out that they've also got their own sort of like individual powers and stuff like that. Some of them aren't necessarily powers. One of them's like a time traveler. Another one, which is my favorite one, is a girl that has a psychic link with a velociraptor. So yeah, nice. one's a witch, one's an alien, and then there's the one which is actually just completely normal, but he has the best twist. If you haven't read it, read it.
Marvel is in the process of trying to get that made into a movie as well.
I would love that so much.
Yeah. Cool.
I would actually jizz all over the place if that ever became a movie.
Oh dear. Nell, who's your favourite?
Ah, this is so difficult. I'll just go for the really obvious one that you're all expecting me to say, Iron Man.
Is that pre Robert Downey Jr. or just because of
Robert? No, it's definitely not pre Robert Downey Jr.
My mum really made me laugh because she watched the first Iron Man and she just looked at me and she went, he wasn't actually acting there. You do realise this, don't you? So, I just think... I think he's a really sort of...
He's got a lot of depth.
He's an interesting hero, I think. Because someone said to me, because I have this big thing that I'm not... I think Batman is cool, but I hate Bruce Wayne. I think he's a bit of a whiny bitch. And people just turn around and go, but he's basically the same as Tony Stark. I'm like, no. Tony Stark, we're friends. He's got style.
I was thinking about my favourite Tony Stark moment in the films anyway, like last night, like when I was walking home. And it was just in number two, when they're all in like that bar in Monte Carlo.
Mm.
When they're talking to like Justin Hammer, and then that reporter lady from the first one comes along, and Justin Hammer's like, "Oh yeah, she's doing a spread on me," and like Pepper Potts is just like, "Oh yeah, she did a spread on Tony last year," and Tony Stark just goes, "Yeah, and she also wrote an article on me as well." I was just like, it was just the delivery was like so smooth, so just matter of factly, and just totally under the radar.
And I really liked in the Avengers, there was, because obviously there is this big kind of tension between Captain America and also Steve Rogers and Tony Stark, because Tony Stark's big thing is you will not, like, my dad would not shut up about you. I don't understand why you're so great. Steve Rogers' thing is basically you were a spoiled brat who... you know, has got all these gadgets and it's your gadgets that make you. And then when he goes like, oh, take them away and what have you got? And like, Tony Stark just turns around and goes, billionaire, genius, playboy, philanthropist. And yeah. It's just like, boom.
My favourite version of that is like, oh, take away the suit of armour and what have you got? And Tony Stark's just like, naked!
Fair enough.
Cool. Dan.
Simon kind of half stole mine. I'm a little bit annoyed at him. He knows how much I love Gambit.
Hmm.
Yeah. Gambit's my, you know, my favorite comic book hero. He has a really twisted backstory in that it stuff comes out about him that, you know, that he's hidden or that he has been wiped from his memory quite a few times. So
They're all over that now. That's all.
So Gambit is...
He teams up with Xavier now. That's his...
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's in the most recent story, like, where they were trying to find Rogue.
Yeah.
Gambit, at one point, before he was sort of tested on and taken down a peg, was the most powerful mutant on Earth.
Mm. They've all had a stint at being a mega, though, haven't they?
Yeah, so he went... Like, basically, Gambit... at one point had so much kinetic energy stored up in him, he had like the power of the sun or something equivalent to the power of the sun, and he could have done very, very dangerous things with it. And
yeah, it was, he had like healing powers and stuff.
Yeah, it was causing his body to fall apart and stuff like that, holding all this energy in. So he went to Sinister to get help, and that's why Gambit ends up teaming with Sinister in the Marauders. Yeah. And that's how he first meets the X-Men and all this. And he's just got a great story. He's a fantastic character. He's really interesting. He's got loads of backstory.
Cool as well.
He is. Yeah, it also helps that he is the coolest fucker on the planet. And if you're like me and your introduction to X-Men and a lot of comic stuff was through Saturday morning cartoons, like, you know, the X-Men and the Spider-Man cartoon and the Hulk cartoon and all the Marvel cartoons that came around.
He hit on every lady that came his way.
He was the coolest person on the...
I was going out with Rogue.
Combined. Yeah. Amazing. And I loved him, and that's why it just is. It stuck with me ever since then. I've read a load of his standalone series. He did a great series with just him and Cable as well. He's done loads of stuff with him and Wolverine as well, because those two don't get on, obviously.
Yeah.
But they play off of each other so well because they don't get on.
Mm.
Yeah, love it.
Cool. Right, so the last one is me, and 10 guesses. For you, it's obviously
how about someone
the first nine not count.
There's loads of characters I do like. Deadpool is not the only person I like. He is just my favourite. The reason
there's a fucking revelation in itself.
I know, isn't it?
I know.
Never once
mentioned that.
I know. I've kept it a secret, to be honest. But the thing is, the reason why I love it, and it's the reason why I love there's an Urita character that I really like called Hayden,
who.
Yeah, who's actually, I've named my cat after Hayden, basically, as well.
Double because game.
Does he get everyone like a good hiding?
Yeah.
Well done, Joe.
Thank you.
Let's not forget that he's buried in the ground like a bitch.
I think so. He's now threatening me with divorce.
But basically, he's just an immortal badass who just swears and doesn't give a fuck, and he praises to a god of complete death and destruction.
And is defeated by being buried in the ground like a bitch.
Yeah, but he did kill his master, so shut up.
Alright, gamers.
But he has like a big Cypher 3 like blades on it, which is really cool. And they are very similar kind of characters, apart from the multiple personalities and stuff like that. But it's more that the power that he has is the ultimate regeneration, and the fact that he's just so kooky and fun and ridiculous. I do love Gambit as well. I do love Wolverine.
I hate Wolverine.
I liked Wolverine just because, like, when I was watching the Saturday morning cartoons, he was my favourite character then. And I always used to, like, want the Wolverine, like, figures and stuff like that. And I used to read some of the Wolverine stuff. And it was literally Wolverine and Gambit were my two favourite ones. And then Cable. I love Cable as well. He's just awesome.
Yeah, Cable was a bit weird in the cartoon. Like, he had a robotic arm rather than the technovirus. And...
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't in the cartoons. It was when I was reading some of the Wolverine stuff, the Wolverine and Cable stuff.
Not Cable and Deadpool.
It wasn't there when I was younger.
Yeah, true.
And I didn't know who Deadpool was when I was younger. So
he had a cameo in old the X-Men cartoons. Very minor cameo.
I didn't religiously watch them, so I didn't really know about them that much. But yeah, and I really like Cable as well. But Deadpool is number one, basically.
On the subject of the X-Men Saturday morning cartoon, I loved the portrayal of Beast. I thought he was a really fun character. Mm. And so when they did the films, I was like, I basically just exploded with, oh my God, Frasier is Beast. This is the best casting ever.
Frasier
I think
is
it was a really, really good pick.
Frasier is Beast. So if we end it here, what I'd like to ask the question of all the audience, who's your favourite hero and why, basically? If anybody, question of the day for all the lovely listeners, who do you think is your favourite one? Give us an explanation.
What was the question we posed at the end of the last one that we tell them they were...
Who
should be the next Batman?
Who should be the next Batman? Did we get any replies?
No replies.
Social networking. We had no replies, you bastards. Yeah. Right, people, reply to this one. Who's your favourite superhero? It's a lot easier than who's going to be next Batman. Who's your favourite superhero? One word.
Also, just quickly, just to let people know, Josh Brolin is now the front runner for the next Batman.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I think Josh Brolin's actually a good actor. He's
fantastic actor.
Had a bit
he's
of
got
brain.
The jaw.
Change his accent.
All right, fair enough. All right, so shall we wrap up there then, guys? Anyone got anything else they want to add? Yeah. No.
No.
All right then. So everybody say bye.
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 Auf Wiedersehen.